Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, and I'm sitting across from our senior pastor, our lifelong pastor, John Bell. And what we do here, if you're new to Off the Cuff, is we come up with a subject, and then John answers some questions, and sometimes we'll veer left, and sometimes we'll veer right, but we'll put it all together. And this time we're speaking about, is America under God's judgment? We're right now in the middle of April and the year of 2024. And so things are, you know, very, let's just say, unusual for the United States of America right now. And some people believe, hey, we're on the right track. And other people say, wait a minute, what's going on? And talking about that today is John Bell. So, John, let me just turn it over to you with the master question. Is America under God's judgment?
Well, I think we always have to go to the Word of God, you know, for anything. Like, all of us can have an opinion about stuff.
Right.
But the Word of God actually is the lens through which we need to not only view life, but make determinations in life. And the chapter of the Bible, I mean, the Bible is, you know, Proverbs chapter 1, like verses 24 through 32, is if you want to read what happens when a nation, it's the nation of Israel there, and they turn away from God, he basically abandons them. That's kind of what he says. He says, I'm going to let you alone. There is a, and so what Romans 1 does is it gives us this kind of lens to see what happens. And this has happened, Dean, all through history. Mm-hmm. Like nation after nation after nation, both Gentile nations, which Gentile nations is like saying nation nations, because Gentile means nation, and especially the nation of Israel. I mean, if you read through the Old Testament, you see the book of Judges, you know, they regularly work through these steps of a downward spiral. And every time they end up at a low spot, God sends them a judge. So, you know, what we're talking about here about America, this is really history. I mean, there's a reason why empires don't last. I mean, think about all the great empires.
Right.
And just, they all cycled downward. You know, they started off, they grew, they progressed, they achieved, they had like this golden era, and then they got full of themselves, and they turned away from the Lord. And it happens, it's happened all the time. So
I remember a long time ago, you told me, I mean, this is going back, you said, these good times are not forever.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember that?
Yeah,
I mean,
I always,
told me that.
I tell people when things are going really well, enjoy it.
Right, exactly.
Because it's not going to last.
And, you know, and I was younger back then, and I'm like, yeah, it's good times are going to continue to roll. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Think about all the great empires. I mean, I'm a history buff, so you know, I mean, starting with Solomon's.
Yeah.
Solomon's empire was so great that when the queen of Ethiopia saw it, she fainted when she saw the splendor and the wealth of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. I mean, and he was the wisest man in the world, but what happened to him? Right?
Yeah.
So you have him, you have the Assyrian Empire, you have the Babylonian Empire, the walls of Babylon, like around the city, they had chariot races on the walls.
Oh, my.
That's how thick the walls were.
You know, while we're talking about this, what is it, John, that that when you see, I have some wealthy friends, and, you know, and you know, they kind of like to show off. And sometimes, you know, when you see things, you look at it and go, wow. And you look at it and you say, incredible. But then there's a point in your life when you look at it and you just think, I don't, it's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It's opulent. It's you almost say, why? Mm-hmm. You know, but at one time, that really, I was really attracted to that.
Well, when
stuff.
You're young, that's it's very attractive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
It's an age thing.
Yeah.
Another thing to look forward to as I get older. You know,
yeah, and you know, there's one of the tests of one of the tests that's going to come to your life is the test of failure. Mm-hmm. Another test that's going to come is the test of success. Mm-hmm. And I would say they're both hard tests to manage. So
I would think the queen of Ethiopia then was very young. Because the faint, you know, I mean, it could, you know, I would just, yeah, I'm at the point now where wealth doesn't impress me. Mm-hmm. I don't care how, I mean, Elon could be across the, it doesn't impress me anymore. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Yeah. And it used to be like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Again, I just think that, well, you know, you and I kind of grew up with the same, very similar background. We were Chicago kids. Yep. You know, we grew up.
Yeah.
You know.
Not a lot of money.
You know, I have friends that grew up on the North Shore, and one of their saying, well, I have a really good friend, Bruce, and he says, John, you know, kids on the North Shore were born on third base, and they think they hit a triple.
Right, exactly. You know? I remember when we wanted a pizza when we were like, you know, teens, young teens, my dad would say, I got $2, and then my brother would say, I got $1, and I'd say, I got $3, and that's how we'd order
a
pizza.
You always had the most.
Always had the most. Always, you know, but I had three paper outs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... Yeah, I just had
I think when you're young and, you know, middle class or lower middle class or whatever we were,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, and my parents taught me to succeed. Like, I have six siblings and, you know, we've all done well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm like you. Yeah. I'm like you, so.
Just, yeah. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, but yeah, and this whole idea of, you know, how does a nation move through the process, because there is a downward spiral, you know, and so when you're circling the drain, you don't go down the drain all at once. There's this circling the drain. That's the picture I always have in my mind. I think America's circling the drain.
How far is the basin filled?
that's always the question. So again, our key verse is Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So listen to what it says. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. So how is it revealed? Mm-hmm. How does it reveal it? Because, you know, thank goodness we're under the wrath of God, but it's not a lightning bolt. It's probably going to lead to a lightning bolt at some point, right? I mean, I think like terrorist attacks, like, one of the things that bothers me right now about the immigration policy is not that we're taking in these immigrants or aliens, but migrants, but that some of them are really bad people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, we are really opening ourselves up to something there. Mm-hmm. So let's just get to the steps. We talked about verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28. And the key in those verses is God gave them over, right? So here's step one in a nation. So think about this, Dean.
Okay.
I'd love to get your feedback on this one.
All right.
So verse 24 says, God gave them over in the lusts of their heart to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. So here's what that is saying. When a society becomes pornographic, like... it's everywhere.
Right.
When a society becomes pornographic, when the general character of a society is seen to be immoral, that sets the wheels in motion. Mm. Right? First, the lusts dominate the heart, which leads to impurity. Right? First, it's in your head.
Right.
Starts in your mind. And then the body follows in dishonorable ways.
Wow. And that's the number one search on the internet. That's the number one sites on the internet. I mean, it's everywhere now.
It's everywhere.
It's on your phone.
It scares me? It's on my grandchildren's phone.
Right, right.
You know, I yeah. You and I growing up, we didn't have
access.
Access. It, you know,
Right. No,
there were girly magazines, but right. that's kind of, you know, and there was always some kid in the neighborhood that had them.
Right.
But these kids are being exposed and their minds are being corrupted. You know, I've hired young pastors over the years. Mm-hmm. And these are young pastors.
How old?
In their 20s, okay. early 20s. Mm-hmm. But I could not believe the stuff that they would tell me that they had to go through because pornography is everywhere.
Right.
Right? So it starts when a society becomes pornographic. That's step one. When you start to see mm-hmm. pornography and sexuality paraded back again to in the public square. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. step one. Okay. Step two. That's verse 24.
So check. We're there.
Yeah. We're
there.
That I would say that goes back to the 50s. If you want to know where it started, it's the Playboy lifestyle.
Okay.
Like Hugh Hefner, he really opened Pandora's box. You know, in other words, before that, it was considered, you don't talk about that stuff. It was still there. It wasn't like it didn't exist, mm-hmm. but it wasn't public.
So he was kind of like the catalyst of all this?
He was a...
Wow.
Good Chicago boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was a... I remember as a kid going downtown, going past the Playboy Mansion, yeah. right?
And the tower right downtown Chicago.
Yeah. Verse 26 says, and this is step two, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. So now we're not just talking about passions, we're adding degrading, right? So it was passions. Now it's degraded. What does that mean? We're going down. There's greater debauchery here. The degrading passions can be defined as gross affections, vile desires, perversion, and even inversion. And then it's defined. So here's, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Their women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. Mm-hmm. You know what this is, Dean?
Right.
This is same-sex relationships.
Absolutely.
And what I find interesting here is that he talks about women first. And I think the reason he does that is because it is so unnatural for a woman, right? Because a woman has this deep desire for children. Right, for children. That's right. That's how they're built. That's how they're made.
Right.
And all of a sudden now, they give up the greatest privilege of being a woman mm-hmm. for perversion, essentially. Yeah. Okay?
Recap again where you're reading from the Bible.
So Romans 1:24 is step one. Romans 1:26 is step two. Romans 1:24 is God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity that their bodies might be dishonored among them. Verse 26 is for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. Their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Mm. All right. And then it goes on to say in verse 27. So we talked about the perversion of women. Mm-hmm. Verse 27 says, in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So in other words, the consequences to the perversion, right? Mm-hmm. So that we don't even need to get into that. We know what that is, right?
Right, exactly.
So step three. Is verse 28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So here's what that means, Dean. First, the heart is rotten, and then the body follows, and then the mind goes, right? Mm-hmm. Your mind is actually corrupted. What is a depraved mind? The word literally means tested and found useless.
Wow.
Disqualified for its intended purpose. A non-functioning mind. Ephesians describes it as futility. Futility means meaningless. It's just meaningless. You're pursuing something that is futile. Mm-hmm. It's not going to bring you the satisfaction that you think it's going to bring you. So reasoning is so corrupted and it's crippled. The intellectual faculty can no longer function. The moral law of God written in the heart has been literally stomped and replaced with cultural immorality. And what is that? The conscience. The Bible talks about having your conscience seared with a hot iron. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when something is seared, all feeling is gone, mm-hmm. right? So they do things as a result of that.
It's cauterized. Boom.
Yes, it
stops.
And so you and I look at this and we're like, how can people think like that? How can they think that that's okay?
That's how. Because it's like literally it's taken away
yes.
the function.
Their ability to function properly.
That's
and then
incredible.
And now, listen, it gets worse. What follows that? So mm-hmm. let me just read verses 29 through 32. So once this breaks down, the conscience is seared, hardened, you know, mm-hmm. insensitive. Mm-hmm. The mind has been corrupted. It no longer functions the way it's supposed to. What follows that? Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. He throws this in. They are gossips.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have magazines that basically are
exactly.
gossip rags, right? And they fly off the shelves.
Yeah.
Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. They find new ways
to be evil.
To be evil. Mm. Disobedient to parents. That gets thrown in as well. Mm. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, how? Because God has put into creation the testimony of him as the creator, and then he's given us all a conscience. Mm-hmm. So, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them.
Mm.
So they practice them, and then they applaud others who are doing it. Mm. And I would say, and they make it law.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what we have in America right now. I mean, we have laws. There was a law yesterday enacted by the president called Title IX.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about having boys compete in women's sports. He signed it into law. Yeah. He's bypassing states' rights.
Right.
And signed it into law. And so boys competing as women mm-hmm. can shower in women's locker rooms and undress and dress in women's locker rooms.
My goodness. All right, John, so I have to ask, if someone is in that spiral, can God forgive them and restore them, and can they walk in the light?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's dedicate our next podcast to, because we've given three now that right. are kind of like, yeah, it's
it's hard, it's heavy, but
it's pretty dark and it's pretty grim.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, let's ask this question next time. Is there any hope?
Okay, good. All right. Well, you've been listening to Off the Cuff with our lifelong pastor, John Bell. And the good news is there's going to be good news at the next podcast. If you like what you're hearing, you can follow us on social media, and you can actually watch some of our sermons at AmazingMenMinistries.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Amazing Men Ministries, and on X at Amaze Man Ministries. That's AmazeManMinistry. On behalf of John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale saying thanks for listening. We'll again talk to you next time.